Welcome back to Cinema Vino. It's another fine episode, recorded a lot later than our other episode.
20 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, hey.
When we're all fresh, spry.
Yeah, well rested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, you know, little in the middle, but we got much back.
Oh.
Cite your source on that.
That's Sir Mix-a-Lot. He's been knighted. So for this episode, we watched Lady Killers, the Coen Brothers film from 2004. Kind of a crime heist. Yeah, full disclosure, I've seen this before. I watched it actually in the theater with our buddy Kyle when it came out.
Oh, shit.
We went to go see it. And so I rewatched it on the way to Oklahoma City. And I got a little car sick, so I didn't see the last 20 minutes.
And you didn't miss much.
I got a little nauseous.
You're fine. Yeah.
So last act, you guys might have to refresh me just a smidge.
So I will say this. It was my pick because I kind of wanted to revisit it because same thing. I think Travis and I might have watched it when I came to DVD, which I'm assuming was rather quickly.
What year did it come out?
04.
Yeah. Okay.
So we watched it and with like all these hopes and dreams of like a, you know, Big Lebowski-esque kind of thing.
With Tom Hanks.
Yeah, exactly. And it was not that, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've given this movie a once over once before. And I was like, all right, whatever. I did it one more time. And all it does is prove that the Coen brothers can fuck shit up. It just proves that it's just not right. And, you know, I know they didn't write No Country for Old Men. I know they didn't write True Grit. But those were fucking phenomenal films. Mm-hmm. So I know they know what to do.
Yeah.
Like, I know they know what's good and what's bad. They fucked this one up.
Yeah.
They were just like, yeah, you know what? I'm not saying they thought they were invincible, but they were like, hey, we're going to kill this.
Yeah.
And they did not.
Well, it's...
And I don't even know if it was the acting situation or bad script. I mean, it seemed like this was just a bad thing overall.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, what are some of the films you see where it's like, oh, so-and-so or actor had to do this because they were under contract to do that. And they're like, well, we have to do it.
Yeah.
And it was just bad.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt. Like, I feel like there was just no motivation in this film whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, they were just kind of flying by the seat of their pants.
Yeah.
And after we watching it, I'm like, yeah, like, did they even really give a shit? And especially even Tom Hanks. It was just like, again, he sat there, read the whole thing, and was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is me. Which was like, because when was Toy Story?
95.
But
it was 90s.
Yeah, but
Toy Story is 95. Toy Story 2 is 99.
Okay, I guess I was going to Toy Story 2. I was like, you know, this was like, I thought Hanks was kind of at the peak of his career around this time.
Yeah.
And it was like, and goddamn, it was just bad.
Yeah.
It was just bad.
Yeah.
I mean, has Tom Hanks ever had a lull in his career?
No, but I mean, like,
it's all peak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, but this movie of all of them was just like, really, man?
Terminal?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I still love Terminal, though.
It's cute. It's a cute movie.
Yeah.
And that's a Steven Spielberg movie that's kind of like cute.
Yeah.
Kind of. And I would love to go back and check out that one. I actually saw that in the theater, I think, with our buddy Kyle.
Oh.
So.
Kyle's a Steven. Mm-hmm. Steven fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I watched his house for him, or his parents' house, and their gift to me was like to go see a free movie, and Kyle went with me, and that movie, Forrest Gump. No shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So they love
Tom Hanks.
They love Tom Hanks. But how come they didn't go see Lady Killers?
Mama, what's vacation?
Yeah. The biggest takeaway is like everybody fucks up.
Yeah.
And to me, that was the Coen brothers, you know.
Every director.
Up. Yeah.
You name a director, they've made a bad movie.
Yeah.
Or a mediocre movie, you know.
Yeah.
To me, it reminds me a little bit because the Coen brothers have done so many movies over the years, over almost 40 years.
Yeah.
Woody Allen, I don't think he works as much anymore, but he made a movie every year.
Yeah.
Every single year. I mean.
What's something bad that James Cameron has done?
He made a movie, his first film, I believe, was the sequel to Piranha.
Oh.
I could be wrong about that. We have to go back and look at that. And I know he wrote a movie about a severed hand. that killed people.
Wait, Idle Hands?
I don't think it was called Idle Hands.
Okay, that's going to be my pick for one of our movies to review. No. No joke, but continue.
But James Cameron, it was like, I guess it had great special effects. I've never seen it. But I want to say, he did. His first movie was about a severed hand that came to life and murdered people.
Well, and
it's like Adam's Family.
And you can edit this out if it's not true. But I'm pretty sure I saw something about how Bill Murray only did Garfield because he thought the director or the writer was the Coen brothers.
But it was with an H.
But it was like, it was a different Coen.
And it's like Ethan Coen.
Yeah. And when he showed up, he freaked the fuck out. He's like, whoa. The Coen brothers are like, no, this is Jimmy Coen.
I think his name was Joel Coen.
Yeah,
it was an H.
It was
and he Jimmy was like, Crack Coen.
And he just like freaked the fuck out.
I am a brother.
Yeah, it was like, and he was like, wait, I signed on because it was the Coen brothers. Yeah. And it was like, no, this is somebody else. And he was like, well, fuck, I guess he was so already into it, he couldn't get out.
Yeah,
Bill Murray's also kind of an asshole.
Yeah, he's famous for like, not having a publicist or anything, like he has is a phone number, and it's like you call and you talk to him, and he's like, "Meh, no, I'm not into it right now."
Yeah, I think I saw a recent interview that he was like, "Yeah,
no publicist or agent or anything."
Yeah, he was like, "I there's only like two directors," and he said it was like Wes Anderson and Sofia Coppola was like, "Yeah, they know what they're doing," mm-hmm. and like they just send him the script, and then they just hope he shows up.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, they were just like, yeah, no, like.
Yeah, they don't send a car or anything. Yeah, they're like,
but he's always there. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, he's like, I read the script. Yeah, I'm into it. And then it was just like, and they're just like, well, Bill's here. Yeah. And it was like, but I found that so funny. It's like the Coen brothers had like such a like cult following at the time. And I'm sure he was like, oh, hell yeah. He's like, they're doing Garfield? Sweet.
Tale of Two Kitties. That's what gets me is he was in a sequel.
Yeah. Well, I think he might have been contractually obligated. Yeah, it was like, first one.
Yeah.
Which, again, that shows you how much you want to work with the Coens.
Also,
like, oh, yeah.
You got to make two.
It is just voiceover.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just voice acting. Yeah. So,
anyway.
Which is only hour. Anyway, continue, Taylor. Sorry.
Oh, no.
So, to your point, what Coen movie came out before or around that same time that was sort of like we were Pete Coen?
Oh, Brother, right before that?
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou came out.
And Big Lebowski.
Intolerable Cruelty. There's a movie called Intolerable Cruelty with...
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I believe that was after that one, but it was in that same time period.
Catherine Zeta-Jones and George Clooney. Yeah, and that was around the time of Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou, because it was the most fastest... Like, the conversation was just so fast.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure later... Did Lady Killers come out after that? Because all I know is that it was not like their other films.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe what made it, in my opinion, kind of like a flop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't look at the numbers to see like what it did.
Yeah.
But it was not what I thought that they were capable of. Of the films I've seen.
That cast, that director, you know, set, like it should have been a knockout.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a
be Oscar-worthy
bad script.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, I don't think it was bad. Marlon Wayans.
It was middling.
Yeah. And it was like,
mediocre. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
But
to summarize for people who haven't seen it. So
sorry.
2004 release, Tom Hanks and Joel and Ethan Coen. And it is.
No H.
Yeah. No H. C-O-E-N.
Yeah.
That's for Bill Murray. Unless he gets trapped in again.
Yeah.
But so it's a crime casino heist, riverboat movie or whatever. And it's about Tom Hanks and his kind of, Ocean's 11, but kind of dim-witted Ocean's 11 crew or Dirty Dozen, whatever. Like all these, they have a disparate like team where they're all different. They all have different skills and yada, yada, yada. They don't get along. It's the same old shtick. But Tom Hanks is a Southern aristocratic, voiced gentleman who moves in with Irma P. Hall, plays the matriarchal. She's a black woman. She has a house. She's probably in her mid-80s, I guess, or early 80s.
Kind of like in the middle of nowhere, Georgia?
Mississippi, I believe.
Okay. Mississippi.
Yeah. And so he moves in because it has a close proximity to their target, heist. And so, he brings his team in, and under the guise that they're, like, traveling, rehearsing gospel musicians or whatever, and they're down there in the basement playing their lutes and flutes and harps and whatever.
Renaissance.
Yes, musicians. Like a Renaissance fair type band. And meanwhile, they're plotting and executing their Ocean's 11 heist, you know, underneath her house.
Ugh. So they're digging a hole through her basement.
Kind of Shawshank style.
To the back of the casino's storeroom where they keep all the money.
Yeah.
Which a lot of speculation on Tom Hanks's character's part that this house that he was trying to get a room in, one, would have a room that he could stay in. Two, would have a basement that they could dig in. three, that he could use the basement for whatever the fuck and do it uninterrupted.
Oh, yeah. Like,
and you're gambling also on the architectural soundness of that building when you start hammering the ground underneath it.
Yeah.
That's how sinkholes happen.
All right, guys, I've done some some number crunching here.
Yeah, here we go.
So Fargo, 96. Lebowski, 98.
Big brain on Brad.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? 2000. And then was 2003, Intolerable Cruelty. Oh. And then Lady Killers, 2004.
That's
and
sad.
Then No Country for Old Men, 2007.
They brought it back with No Country.
Yeah, so they took a break after that, Lady Killers. They were like, ooh, that's on me.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah. And honestly, Intolerable Cruelty wasn't that good either. And it was like, it wasn't phenomenal, but it was like two of the biggest stars at the time.
Great lead couple.
But it wasn't that good either.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I couldn't, the writing on that, I couldn't see their fingerprint on exactly.
No. And I don't know that they wrote that by themselves.
I'm not
sure. You'll have to check and see on that one. I'm not sure.
All right, you guys, talk about yourself again.
Yeah. Here we go.
Keep Trav busy over there. So I'm like you. It came out, it's like, well, this is disappointing from the, I mean, I even loved Lebowski. But at that point, by the time I watched that, Lebowski was in regular rotation.
Oh, yeah, they didn't write it. Coens weren't on Intolerable Cruelty.
I think they did.
All right.
Yeah, because I'm like you, it didn't sound like them.
Yeah, it didn't have their fingerprint.
But they did Fargo. Even Oh Brother Where Art Thou had a weird charm to it. That's not my favorite from them.
I love Oh Brother Where Art Thou.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It had a charm to it. Great cast. So
just the Odyssey plus sweet jams.
And Gophers.
Yeah. Gopher Everett.
And so watching Lady Killers was pretty disappointing. And especially with Tom Hanks, you know, it's like you like to see like your favorite directors matched up with like your favorite actor. It's like it's a big thing. You know, it's like it's exciting to see a good actor like that, a reliable actor put with great directors. It's like it's going to be something special. And this was a letdown. It wasn't bad. For me, the parts with Marlon Wayans were pretty tiresome. Like you say, it's like it's
character lines. Yeah. He was just
very tiresome. You know, and it's like
he was good in it, but they just didn't give him much to do.
Yeah, and so like Travis, you were saying like Tom Hanks and J.K. Simmons. Yeah, they're great in what they do, and they seem to give them the best, like the meatiest dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they do hold the screen pretty well. But yeah, it was just almost kind of dull.
Yeah.
Yeah. The what I could see best in it is that this was, again, I love hearing, you know, Tom Hanks being, you know, so eloquent, white devilish. They alluded to him being a devil many times. But yeah, he had the greatest lines, obviously, because he talked the most. J.K. Simmons, I liked his cadence and his delivery. Like, he's phenomenal as well. But then they had just the silent bomb guy, or was he the digger?
Tanaka.
And then they had
he was the whole expert.
And then they had the dumb guy Bruiser from Remember the Titans, and obviously he didn't have much to do or say. And then you had the owner of the house as well, and she was great as well. But like, it was those two other characters that were given the most to do, or at least the most interesting dialogue. But it seemed like it was a short story that they decided to stretch.
Oh my God.
It could have been it could have been much, much shorter.
Could have been a 30-minute short.
All I could remember before we started it, I just remembered being underwhelmed by it the first time I saw it. And all I could remember was all of the deaths at the end of when, like, all the crazy happenstance and they have flipped people over the bridge onto, like, the garbage scow. That's all I could remember. And then as I was watching it, I was kind of watching it in fast forward. And I was like, I don't remember. I guess this is, man, this is a lot of lead up. And I didn't realize it's the last, you know, 20, 30 minutes that all of the garbage scow, like, deaths, like, and some of them happened, like, really pretty quick. But it just didn't, yeah, it didn't do it for me. It was, it's a movie I like to see once, and then it was nice to revisit it, but I don't know if I need it again.
No.
Just as a side note, how fast are you watching it?
Well, normally, like, if there's something I think I watched it on a streaming platform, so I couldn't, like, fast forward it, like, you know, watch it in a fast, like, a YouTube speed of 1.25 or 1.5 with the volume going. But I think I watched it on my Apple TV, and I was just like, okay. And I clicked 10 seconds or 20 or 30 seconds forward. I'm like, all right, are we walking down this hall?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Like, oh, I think this guy dies trying to go up and kill her. And I'd skip forward. I'm like, oh, wait, how did he die? And I'd skip back 20 seconds. I'm like, oh, he choked on a cigarette. Cool. Fell out a window or whatever. I'm like, all right, good deal. And yeah.
So you watched about 19 minutes total of the movie.
And that's probably all you need.
Yeah. I gave it a fair shake. But yeah. And I did stop it near, like, any time Tom Hanks was talking, whenever he was, you know, giving his weird The Raven, or talking about, not The Raven, but
Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, Edgar Allan Poe. Mm-hmm.
Sean, your thoughts?
So I had never seen it originally.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was coming in with fresh eyes, and you know what? Fresh eyes didn't do shit for me. it was fine. It was mediocre. I kind of expected more out of the cast. I really like J.K. Simmons. I really like Tom Hanks. And
yeah.
You know, it was a movie. I don't know why they called it Little Lady Killers, because that's the exact opposite of what they did.
Yeah.
It was more about a heist for like 90% of the movie. And then they're like, oh shit, we got to kill the old lady. Because we're somehow beholden to her, moral fortitude, and we gave her our real names for some reason. I don't understand it. That was like, what are we doing here?
It's Miss Mountain Girl.
This is a remake of a 1950s British movie. Alec Guinness is in
there. So they didn't even write this.
No, they didn't. Lazy. No, they based it on, it's different. It's a lot different than the original.
Kind of like True Grit.
Yes. Yeah. It's basically their riff on the original.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, Alec Guinness is in it. Peter Sellers is in the original. There's a notable, like, British cast.
Stellan Skarsgård?
Probably.
No.
Peter Sarsgaard.
So, I mean, I like they put so much of the plot on happenstance and coincidence. And that's what bugs me. You know, it wasn't written in a way that I was like, yeah, this could happen. It was written in a way that was like, oh, this only happens in a Coen Brothers movie. You know?
Yeah.
But it also, you're looking at it, and other than the money for Tom Hanks and whoever else, there's not a lot of money on the screen. You're just like, you know, they probably don't give
like
a shit.
Them with like two sets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Bruce Campbell had a random cameo.
What?
Yeah. He was the animal rights or animal inspector on the commercial.
Yes.
I skipped that part.
And that was so quick, I almost missed it.
Yeah, it was very subtle. Like, I was watching it, and I was like, is that Bruce Campbell?
Yeah, Travis said,
Bruce Campbell in the middle of the movie.
I missed it. I've seen it three times now. It's
like, fresh eyes.
Yeah, Travis.
Fresh eyes.
Yeah, Travis plus 10 his way through that one. Yeah, you can do Lawrence of Arabia in like 6 minutes if you do that.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's some desert and a camel and
desert. Oh, camel. desert.
Guys, if you watch episodes in 1.5 speed, you can knock out episode of The Office in 14 minutes.
So when you were watching The Scorpion King 5, how much of it did you actually watch?
I've only gotten through the first two.
Oh.
The third one is on deck and stars Ron Perlman.
Wait.
And thank you for telling me about that.
Well, you're welcome.
So what is the second Scorpion King called?
Oh, it's called Dog Shit. What it is.
The Scorpion King Strikes Back.
So I just watched not...
Which one had The Rock?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
The first one. Yeah. And that was with the Kingpin that's rest in peace, right? Michael Clark Duncan?
Yep.
Okay.
The third one is that Citizens on Patrol or is that...
Popcat Goldthwait as the Scorpion King.
Is that the one that Gutenberg is not in?
Gutenberg plays the Scorpion.
That's the one where they go to Moscow.
Yeah. That's the last Police Academy film, and that I know.
The last.
That's Police Academy 7, best. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Why have they not rebooted that?
I don't know.
And why aren't the Coen brothers...
Don't encourage
why aren't they, like,
the
directing?
Somebody get
the Coen brothers with the H.
And why isn't Gutenberg playing the role of the shitty sergeant?
Police captain, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Biding his time.
Yeah. He's the new Tackleberry.
Goot has options. He just chooses, you know.
Yeah, he's not selling mops somewhere.
Scoot the Goot. Hassle the Hoff, don't scoot the Goot.
That's gross. Was he the guy that we decided was selling like mop handles outside of the store? Was that what we?
Yeah. Mop, 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 baby.
And so, yeah, it's like we got 6 more minutes of filler about the lake.
So J.K. Simmons was great, and I wish that he and Mountain Girl had ridden off into the sunset. Like, they just...
I blew off a finger or two.
You could tell, like, they just had a love.
They connected those
Yeah.
Do that Robert Plant thing again, please.
Yeah, I'm kind of into that.
Oh, ramble on?
Yeah.
He says mop 14 times?
Yeah.
Here we go. Count it. Mop, 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 baby.
Oh, you.
That was 10.
Yeah,
you were counted 11.
Yeah. Try it again.
I may have blurred some in there.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I thought it was 14.
Well, no, it was definitely 10.
Yeah.
Ready?
I can't do it 3 times in a podcast. Are you? Mop, 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 baby.
That was definitely 10.
Says you.
So the point is,
so
the Coen brothers can fuck shit up. They're
not bulletproof.
Yeah. As many movies as they've made this great, this movie was dog shit.
Spielberg has done that. I mean, Scorsese's had some weaker movies.
Yeah. Spielbergo, do you?
George Lucas, one of the prequels was kind of okay, but.
George Lucas has Jar Jar Binks, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but you know, at the same time, when like when you get to these people, like a Spielbergo, Lucas, like
Spielbergo,
it doesn't even matter anymore. And it was like, you know,
when you're a billionaire,
What are we doing here?
It was like,
what are you trying to prove?
Oh, my reputation is bad. Well, you're making the 9,000th Jurassic Park, so LOLZ.
Well, it's like whenever John Lennon made that song called "How Do You Sleep," directed at Paul McCartney, and they asked him, he said, "I sleep in a mattress filled with money."
Yeah,
so. Like, that's a hard answer to argue with.
Yeah, exactly.
Team.
Yeah, that's 8 seconds.
And that's definitely not copyrighted.
Yeah, I don't think we can play that on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. You get us sued by the estate of John Paul Jones.
Click. Hey, guys. What movie now?
So, what's this movie about?
Something about a casino, and I don't know what the hell we're talking about. Muppets Take Manhattan?
Yeah. Actually, I would kill to watch that again.
Muppets Take Manhattan?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
I mean Muppet Treasure Island.
Also great. Tim Curry?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sexy bastard.
We, Noah and I, our little boy, we watched Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo, which was solid.
Lindsay Lohan?
This was the second Herbie movie.
Second Lindsay Lohan Herbie the Love Bug?
No, this movie? Had Tim Conway was in there.
Tim Conway? Listen. Oh.
Yeah.
Wasn't Jimmy Fallon the voice of Herbie?
God, I wish he was. God. God.
But Herbie Goes Bananas is the next one in the series, and that's where Herbie gets bananas put in his gas tank.
Also with Lindsay Lohan. That was...
Steve Gutenberg is the voice of Herbie. And no joke, that's the movie where Herbie is a matador. Because we, in fifth grade, if we were good for the whole week and nobody got sent to the principal's office, we got to watch a movie at the end of the week.
God. That sounds like punishment.
Yeah.
We watch Herbie.
Yeah.
Look, if you're getting rewarded, it's Fern Gully or nothing.
Oh, what about Shrek?
Nah, Land Before
How
Time.
How were you?
Yeah, you're right. We're a different generation.
Yeah. Yes. But yeah, it was like, you know, you guys are really good this week. You're great kids. Hope you like some crap because you're going to watch Herbie be a matador. You're going to watch a Volkswagen, like, elude a bull with a cape.
The best thing is that it could happen.
Yes.
And that's what people don't understand. Is like, that could happen.
Yeah.
Y'all ever seen a beetle with a banana in its gas tank?
I was just disappointed that Tim Conway was not Dorf. If he could have been Dorf Goes Fishing, that would have been the movie I would have been down for.
Trippendorf.
That's right.
What?
This is another side note, but Noah's into remote control airplane videos.
Noah's your child.
Yes. He's our little boy.
For the, you know,
for the audio.
Yeah. And so he's into remote control airplane videos. And I enjoyed them for a while, but the thing that gets it for me is that in all of these elaborate planes, there is not one hamster wearing goggles and a scarf.
Oh,
does Noah know that real planes exist?
Does Noah know?
He does not, I think.
Huh. Noah don't know?
Yeah. But he does love there was one plane that had a freaking space shuttle mounted to the back of it, and the space shuttle could take off and land.
Off of the plane?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Crazy. So this has been another episode of something.
Yeah. Man, yeah. I mean, like, I need to know more about this plane, man. It's like, fuck no. What about me?
I hope you've enjoyed our Lady Killers podcast.
Yeah. P.S. Don't watch it.
I think we covered that movie pretty thoroughly.
Yeah, it's dog shit.
Yeah. And so,
They kind of rock on some other stuff.
But we all learned a valuable lesson, I feel.
That Jimmy Fallon should be the voice of Herbie.
Well, thought he was.
Don't scoot the goot.
Yeah, actually, Jimmy Fallon is a lazy fucking bastard.
No. Apologies to Lindsay Lohan.
She needs a reboot.
Anyway, so I'm here with... Travis and Taylor and
hey.
Sean.
Jimmy Fallon.
And, yeah.
Wherever he be.
Harvey Korman and much other people. And Tim Conway is Dorf. So
the Coen brothers with an H.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the Rolex watch version of the Coen brothers. It's like you get raised in Arizona, but it sucks really bad. So, anyway, we will see you all next time. We're going to watch Garfield, The Tale of Two Kitties.
Mm.
You can listen, rate, subscribe to Cinema Vino, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you choose to listen to your podcasts. My movie reviews are available at toddwoffordmovies.com.
The laugh track, maybe.
Oh!
From inside.